All right. Good afternoon. Well, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this class where we get to learn about the theology of worship. Father, you are indeed the center of our lives, and we worship you not only in church, but also in what we believe and the way that we live, each and every moment of each and every day. Be with us now as we look into the matters related to worship, that we may grow in our faith and understanding of how it is we may serve you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. Well, the attendance sheet is going around, so please just sign that. Dimitri, I put you on the, I signed you in, as well as Maria. As I understand it, Maria, you are in Oklahoma at the moment, so you are very early in the morning. So today I will give you a pass on. You do not have to turn on. Oh, you've got it on anyway. All right. So keep on your, yeah, you look like you've already cleaned yourself up, so just keep it on. Good to see you. Glad you're with us. I will pass around the syllabus. So take it in a language that is most useful to you. Dimitri and Maria, I have the syllabus on Moodle, and it is also in all three languages. I apologize, I have not gotten the Russian translation of the syllabus back yet, so you have an older version from last year, but it should be useful to you because it's very, very similar, just some dates have changed. And I'll go into that shortly. Well, as we begin, I will just look at the syllabus with you, just highlight some of the more important things. You can look through this on your own in your own time. The goals of this course are for students to understand the central place of worship in the life of the church, to be able to give a theologically coherent contribution to the preparation and leading of the worship service, and understand the history and theological underpinnings of worship. And having completed this course, students will be familiar with the history and development of the Christian worship service, know the biblical relevant texts, theological foundations, basic structure, and different rites of the church. So just skipping down, you see a basic course schedule of more or less what will happen during each class session. On the next page, you see the required reading and where you can find those required readings. There is no reading report for this class because, as you will see as we get into the assignments, you have to read those materials and interact with them. So you will basically be writing your works off of these books. One of them, the Robert Weber 20 Centuries of Christian Worship, chapters 11 and 12, is found on Moodle, and they have translated those into all the three languages, so you will be able to find it there. Just as a comment, I found that students tend to like those chapters, so I think it might be something you enjoy, reading about the theologies of worship from different denominations and traditions, and it will tell you how they're different in some ways from one another. And so what is it that, for instance, Roman Catholics, the center of their worship is, and also what is it they're trying to accomplish during worship service? And they'll go through Pentecostals and Methodists and others as well. And you also have a chance to comment on whether you think they've gotten your denomination right or not. The next one, there are two different books. For those who speak or those who are doing their studies in English, there is Hoyt L. Hickman's Worshiping with the United Methodists, and that you read chapters 2-8. And for those of you who are studying in Estonian or Russian, there is the book Ilav Usk, which is in the library. I then have some recommended books for you to read. Those are books that you do not have to read, but you may if you wish. Now on to the assignments. The first assignment is church visits. And the description of this is, on your own, visit a Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Lutheran, and Pentecostal church service. You may replace one of these services with your home church service. You are to write a 2-page reflection paper for each visit, which covers the following questions. How does the congregation encounter God through the worship service? How does the congregation step into fellowship with one another? How does the liturgy flow? What is your opinion of the service? What did you like? What did you not like? How did you experience God differently in this service compared to your regular service? And on that assignment, include the name of the church you visited and the date which you visited as well. Now, some of you have church obligations, things that you have to do that sometimes make it hard to visit other churches on Sunday morning. For the Roman Catholic and Orthodox service, this should not be too much of an issue, because you can also go to a prayer meeting if they have, or they will have times of prayer. They also have services throughout the week. It can be any kind of worship service which they have, of any variety. So you should be able to find one that works there. If for some reason you don't have one of these within like 50 kilometers of you or something, let me know. We can also discuss some options to do with that as well. So if for some reason there's a reason those times don't work for you, we'll discuss it, but I think it should work out for you that way. Secondly, there is a comprehensive exam. This is fairly straightforward. This will be on Moodle. It will be open for 7 days after, it will be open for 7 days. There will be true false questions, multiple choice, and two short answer questions. And that will basically cover the things that we go through in the lectures. And for the record, anything I say is something that can be on the exam. However, I do have the PowerPoints in all three languages on Moodle, and it will be extremely helpful to you to study those materials. And I should point out with the on the church visits, that is due December 31st. So you have to put that, submit your work by December 31st on Moodle. Hopefully you don't wait until New Year's Eve to do your work. I hope you have a better New Year's Eve than that, but I give you until that date. The exam, I will open December 15th and close December 22nd. I thought about putting it until December 24th, but for the same reason, I just don't want people to have to, you know, at 11:59 p.m. be finishing something on, you know, Christmas Eve. Next, assignment number 3 is an essay on the 20 centuries of Christian worship, those two chapters. You read those as are found on Moodle, and then you answer the questions which are there, such as what was difficult to understand concerning liturgical, free church, and charismatic worship theology and practice, and how did reading the text help to open my understanding? 2, in your opinion, can a denomination which traditionally follows one of the given forms of worship introduce elements from another form of worship? So you see, you've gone to your church visit, you have also read through the theologies of the various churches on worship, you find that you really liked something that the Lutheran church did in their service, but you are a Pentecostal background. Do you think that it would be good to bring that element in? So that sort of question. Explain with examples and use footnotes when referencing the reading. And that is 5 pages in length. And that is also due December 31st. Finally, assignment number 4, read either Alav Usk in Russian or Estonian, or Worshiping with the United Methodists in English, and answer the questions which are there. Based on your reading, analyze the Sunday worship services of your home church. What parts of the service did you notice are some things different compared to what you read? Somehow I repeated things in the English version. Is it possible the structure of the service can be improved to better enable people to meet God? And how? Those are the assignments. That last one is due December 31st, once again on Moodle. And one final thing on the work. As you notice, there is quite a bit of work in this class, maybe a little bit more than some others. The reason for that is notice that it is a 4 EAP course, and most of your courses are 3. So it's a little bit larger than other courses. Do you have any questions about the syllabus? All right. Well, let us begin on the lectures. And the first thing we're going to talk about is, what is worship? That's a fairly basic question, isn't it, to begin with? What is worship? Well, as Christians, we basically worship God because God is to be worshiped. It is part of the fabric of being a Christian to worship God. I mean, what does someone who plays football do? They play football. Or what does someone who plays basketball do? They play basketball. It's just part of who we are. This is something that we do because we are indeed followers of Jesus Christ. The great theologian Karl Barth proclaimed, quote, "The church's worship is the opus dei, the work of God, which is carried out for its own sake." It is carried out for its own sake. We don't worship God because of anything we might receive from him. We don't worship God even to receive the favor of God. Worshiping God in and of itself is the goal. Well, why do we worship him in such a way? Well, because God has offered himself to us in a personal relationship. And we're called to respond to that. And it's basically that God has already so loved us that we have produced in us the desire to worship him. He's already done enough to deserve our worship. William Temple, in his book, The Hope of a New World, proclaims several things occur within the worshiper during the worship service. He says, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. All of these things happen during worship. I mean, our conscience is woken up during worship. We become more aware of what it is that we are being called to do. We are being told where it is that we are falling short of what it is God calls us to be. And I mean, we're fed, our minds are fed with the truth. We are sometimes overwhelmed by the beauty of God and his love. And this is a time that we become more devoted to following him. All this occurs during worship. And in the end, a believer cannot help but worship. God has done so much for us already and loved us so deeply. It's the only natural response. And I think we all have examples, hopefully all of us have examples of this, people who have loved us or given stuff to us, parents and the like, who, because of their love, you know, we already feel gratitude towards that person. Maybe not every day, but we certainly at some point realize that certain people have loved us and we want to do something in response. All right. So, what is worship? A definition of worship. Can anybody give a single definition of worship that covers everything? Not really. That is incredibly difficult to do. And it seems, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's true in pretty much every language too, that it's a little bit hard to just get it all from the, you know, the one statement. For instance, just even talking about worship on Sunday mornings, if you did not know me or I know you, and we never talked about worship, but you came to the church, will say I pastor one Sunday, and I say, would you help out with worship on Sunday morning? You wouldn't know exactly how. You know, do you mean musical worship? Do you mean helping out with communion worship? Usually they tell you if it's a sermon, but it could fall in there. You know, do you mean you want me to preach, read scripture? What exactly do you want me to do? And as you probably already know, and as we'll go into a little bit, however, worship is not just what happens at a church service either. So it is a very broad word and is considered, has always been considered difficult to define exactly what it means. In some ways, you know worship when you see it. Yet there are some words which we can look at that do help us to get a little bit of an idea of what worship is, point us in the right direction. In English, the word worship comes from a very ancient word, from actually the Anglo-Saxon language. The most direct language influencing the development of the English language. And that word was worskippy. Don't worry, that is not testable. But what it means is it's two words. It's worth and ship. And what it means together is that there is something worthy of reverence and honor. Something worthy of reverence and honor. Through worship, we are declaring God is worthy of reverence and worthy of honor. And if you look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, you will see that those encircling the throne were saying in a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." So you see that kind of worship in Scripture. God is worthy of reverence and honor. There is also the biblical word glory. And this is attributed to God when God is worshiped. The biblical word glory. The Hebrew word for glory means honor or weight of God. The biblical Greek word doxa means glory and often expresses that God is worthy of honor and praise. And you'll see that in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The word most often translated worship in the Old Testament is shaka, which means to bow down or prostrate oneself. To bow down or prostrate oneself. That is the most common word translated worship in the Old Testament. The Greek New Testament word, proskuneo, has a similar meaning. It literally means to kiss the hand towards one. To kiss the hand towards one. Or to, once again, prostrate oneself. Kind of, you know, completely get on the ground. And the word was used by Jesus to the woman of Sychar, the woman by the well, in John chapter 4. The word liturgy is derived from the Greek liturgia, and that word can mean ministry or service. While other, it was used related to the priestly office under the Old Covenant, also to the ministry of Christ and the worship of the early church. Liturgia also can mean action of the people. And more particularly, the service which the Christian does to God in faith and obedience. Paul uses the word liturgia to describe a life of faith that is producing the fruits of the Spirit. So this is the word Paul uses to describe a life of faith that is producing the fruits of the Spirit. For instance, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And also Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It was only later that the word liturgy came to mean the order of worship used in churches. So by looking at all these different words we've just gone through and also some other words, we can kind of get an idea of what worship is all about. No one word will do it, but several words together help give us an idea of what it is. In worship, the worshiper experiences the presence of God. The worshiper experiences the presence of God. They are standing in the presence of God through revelation. Yet at the same time, we can never fully comprehend God. We can know God. We can know God through worship. And we can have a relationship with Him. But there is a sense we never can fully comprehend God. I mean, after all, God is, infinite, beyond boundary, and we're finite, we're just humans, if you will. We know Him, but there are still other aspects which we cannot fully comprehend. So there is always an element of mystery in our worship, in worship of God. Through worship, we are in communion with God. It is in many ways a miraculous event. We are in the presence of God in a very special way. We hear His word, and we're moved by His Spirit. Samuel Miller, commenting on the miracle of worship, said that it is the sight of God seen through earthly circumstance. It is the glory of God shining through darkness. It is the power of God felt when all other strength fails. It is the eternal manifested in time. Segler and Bradley share how we get the most out of worship by proclaiming the following. Worship becomes more meaningful when churches approach worship with a sense of mystery, awe and wonder. Worshippers can know God in worship, but they can never fully comprehend His nature or fathom the mystery of His ways. So mystery is one of the aspects of worship. The second aspect is celebration. Celebration. Worship is a celebration of the acts of God in history. And in essence, we're celebrating what God has done. We worship God's act of creation. We worship God through his redemption through Jesus Christ. We worship what he has done in history. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit as well, who still is the one who, you know, empowers us and guides us. So we're celebrating what God has done, and we also celebrate what God will do in the future. So it is also an act of celebration. Another aspect of worship is life. Worship is not limited to acts of devotion or to ceremonies. For the Christian, worship is synonymous with life. In its broadest aspect, worship is related to all aspects of life. As a part of God's creation, humankind responds with gratitude to the Creator. So every area of life belongs to God and to God's kingdom. Therefore, worship is practicing the presence of God in every experience in life. So, as you obviously see, it's not related to what happens at a church. It's all part of it. It's part of who we are. It's ingrained in us. We worship God each and every moment of each and every day. Fourth, worship is also a dialogue, a conversation. Worship involves a conversation, a dialogue with God. God speaks during worship, and worshipers are expected to respond. And it is not a one-way interaction. God starts the conversation through revelation, and the worshiper responds in worship. So God speaks to us through the Bible and also through the fellowship of believers, through the music, through symbols, and through his Holy Spirit. In all those ways, God is talking to us during worship. And people respond through words, musics, and acts of celebration and acts of dedication to God. Through this encounter, God confronts the worshiper and makes demands on their life. God confronts the worshiper and makes demands on their life. And you see this in Scripture. In the story, for instance, of Jacob encountering God in Genesis chapter 28. He encountered God, and Jacob was forever changed. Through this encounter, we not only get to know God, which is important, but in a sense are also known by God. Another aspect of worship is the offering. The offering. Actually, I shouldn't say the offering. Offering. The purpose of worship is not primarily to receive blessings from God, but to make offerings to God. The purpose of worship is not primarily to receive blessings from God, but we do, but to make offerings to God. Ancient peoples presented offerings in the form of sacrifices. In the Bible, the Hebrews made offerings in various ways. Chapter 96, verse 8 says the following: "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." The New Testament also emphasizes giving as central in worship. Worshippers are to offer their gifts in sincere faith and total obedience. The holy priesthood, as called in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the congregation of believers, that is to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Worship is more than speech. It's an action. Worship is acting on the word of God in faith. As God acted toward believers, so believers are to act toward God. Worship is primarily the offering of our total selves to God. Jesus, quoting Leviticus, says that we are to give our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's basically what worship is. We give everything that we are to God in worship. That is our intellect, our feelings, our attitudes, and even our possessions. Our outward gifts are the result of our inward dedication. It's one of those things. You're showing your heart by your outward acts, if you will. It's an outward flow of what's happening on the inside of you. Paul saw the gifts of money from the Philippian church as quoting him as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. In the New Testament, the highest expression of giving is offering yourself. And we see this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul counsels to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So in worship, your offering is not just what you give, to the collection plate. It's everything. You give your entire self to God.